Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday School, January 30th, 2011.
Turn in your Bibles to the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and we'll read the sequel to last week's chapter 13 of the destruction of Babylon that Isaiah prophesied 250 years before it happened. So reading in the 14th chapter, "For the Lord will have compassion on Jacob and will again choose Israel and will set them in their own land, and sojourners will join them and will attach themselves to the house of Jacob, and the peoples will take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them in the Lord's land as male and female slaves, and they will take captives those who were their captors and rule over those who oppress them. When the Lord has given you rest from your pain and turmoil and the hard service which you were made to serve, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon." And the rest of this is written in poetry. "How the oppressor has ceased, the insolent fury ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of rulers that struck the peoples in wrath with unceasing blows, that ruled the nations in anger with unrelenting persecution. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. The cypresses rejoice at you, the cedars of Lebanon saying, 'Since you were laid low, no woodcutter comes up against us.' Sheol beneath is stirred up to meet you when you come. It rouses the shades to greet you, all who were leaders of the earth. It raises from their thrones all who were kings of the nations. All of them will answer and say to you, 'You too have become as weak as we. You have become like us. Your pomp is brought down to Sheol. The sound of your harps, maggots are laid as the bed beneath you, and worms are your covers. How have you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn? How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend against the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Those who set you see you will stare at you and ponder over you. This is the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a desert and overthrew its cities, who did not let his prisoners go home. All the kings of the nations lie in glory, each in his own tomb. But you are cast out, away from your grave, like a loathed branch, clothed with the slain of those pierced by the sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a dead body trampled underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial because you have destroyed your land. You have slain your people. May the offspring of evildoers never be named. Prepare slaughter for his sons because of the guilt of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the earth and fill the face of the world with critics. I will rise up against them, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will cut off from Babylon the name and remnant, descendants and posterity, declares the Lord, and I will make it a possession for the hedgehog and the pools of water, and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, declares the Lord of hosts." This was written as a poetic taunt against Babylon by Isaiah, who lived, as I said before, 250 years before the prophecies of the destruction of Babylon in chapter 13 occurred. But as so often in Isaiah and other prophets too, he switches from the near future to the far distant future, back to the present, almost from one verse to another. So this 14th chapter was not fulfilled at the destruction of Babylon in 537 BC. And we know that because none of the things in chapter 14 occurred at the destruction of Babylon in the days of Daniel and the days of Jeremiah. This chapter 14 reaches to a far distant time, still distant to us today. Babylon was the oppressor of Judah about 600 years before Christ and exiled them to the lands of Babylon in the east and destroyed Jerusalem and the Holy Land. And for 70 years, they were enslaved in Babylon. But then the Medes and the Persians destroyed Babylon and its empire, and they let the Jews go back to Jerusalem. Not too many of them did, but they went back, a few of them, and found the land a ruin. And as they set about to rebuild their land, the peoples all around them were set on destroying them. Does that sound anything like the Holy Land today, where 5 to 6 million Jews are attempting to rebuild their country, and they've done a marvelous job of it thus far. But all around them are nations who are set on their destruction. The Lord intended for that captivity, that enslavement of the Jews at that time, to make an impression upon them. And it made an impression so deep that it persists to this very day. Never after that time were the Jews idolaters, and never after that time did they revert to the old ways before the Jerusalem was destroyed. But the kingdom was gone. Their kings were gone. Their former way of life was gone. It did make a tremendous impression upon them, and Babylon became to them the ultimate symbol of tyranny and of terror and of enslavement and of everything that was evil. So this 14th chapter is set in a time yet future to us. The first two verses show us this. For the Lord will have compassion on Judah and will again choose Israel and will set them in their own land, and sojourners will join themselves to them and attach themselves to the house of Jacob. That did not happen in the days of Nehemiah and Ezra. And the peoples will take them and bring them to their place, to the house of Israel, will possess them in the Lord's land. Notice, the Holy Land here is called the Lord's land. As male and female slaves, and they will take the captive, those who were their oppressors. They did not do that in Ezra and Nehemiah's day, but that time will indeed come and will rule over those who oppress them. So Isaiah here writes we might say, an ode to the destruction of Babylon. It reminds us very much of the 17th, 18th, and 19th chapters of the book of Revelation, in which we read the cry that went out, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Well, this is this ode to the destruction of Babylon is set in that time that is yet to come. How the oppressor has ceased, the insolent fury ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers that struck peoples in wrath with unceasing blows, that ruled the nations in anger with unrelenting persecution. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing in that day when all of these prophecies are fulfilled and there is that time of golden peace that Isaiah wrote about in chapters we've read before. The cypresses rejoice with you, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were laid low, no woodcutter has come up against us. And these verses are showing the not just the destruction of Babylon in the ancient times, because no way does this description of the king of Babylon describe Belshazzar, that weak-kneed, dissolute king who Daniel saw overthrown by the Persians. But this is speaking of the future time. Have you ever heard the saying, history repeats itself? How many tyrants have arisen since that time to conquer peoples and to make themselves the ultimate ruler on earth? And in nearly every case, they have come to a bad end. And this describes that time, and the time described in the book of Revelation, when, as Paul said in Thessalonians, the man of sin will set himself as God to be worshipped. The Roman Caesars did this. They set themselves to be God to be worshipped, and everyone had to burn incense to the image of the emperor. The Christians wouldn't do that. That's why they were persecuted by Rome. But then these next chapters go beyond the king of Babylon. Sheol beneath is stirred up to meet you when you come. It rouses the shades to greet you. Shades meaning the spirits of the departed. This is a scene in hell. All who were leaders of the earth, it raises from their thrones. All who were kings and nations, all of them will answer and say to you, King of Babylon, you too have become weak as we. You have become like us. Your pomp is brought down to Sheol. The sound of your harps are, and maggots are laid as a bed beneath you, and worms are your covers. This is the end of most tyrants of the earth, and this will be the end of the tyrant at the end of this age, which is described at length in the book of Revelation. How are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the dawn? This is not about the mortal king of Babylon. In the book of Daniel, we read that Daniel prayed for 3 weeks, and then the archangel Gabriel came and appeared to him and said, Daniel, your prayer was heard from the beginning, but the prince of Persia withstood me. By the prince of Persia, he wasn't meaning the emperor of Persia or the husband of Queen Esther. Paul called the prince of Persia, the prince of Babylon, the prince of the powers of the air. And John called him that old serpent, the devil. How are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the dawn? Jesus foretold of this time when he was on earth. He said, I saw a star fall from heaven, referring to that time when Satan will be cast out and chained in the pit of the abyss, as John tells us in the book of Revelation. How are you fallen from heaven, O day star? That's the sun whom the Babylonians worship. Son of the dawn, how are you cut down to the ground, you who laid nations low? You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit in the mount of the assembly, in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And ever since, before creation of this earth, Satan has been opposing God, and he does today. He knows his end, and yet he persists in a hopeless task of opposing God, and he takes it out on God's people whenever he can. But his days are numbered. You are brought down to Sheol or to hell, to the far reaches of the pit. Those who see you will stare at you and ponder over you. Like people think of Hitler today, or of Stalin today, or of Peter the Great in the 19th century, or of the great Caesars, where are they? Well, Isaiah tells us here where they are. You are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Those who see you will stare at you and ponder over you. This is the man who made the earth to tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a desert, and overthrew its cities, who did not let his prisoners go home. And then the rest of this poem, he's talking about the mortal king of Babylon in Jeremiah's day and all of those who are like him. All of the kingdoms of the nations lie in glory, each in his own tomb. Lenin lies in the tomb of Lenin on Red Square in Moscow. And each of the kings of Europe were entombed in elaborate tombs, not just in Europe, but over this world. Each of them is in his own tomb, but you are cast out away from your grave, that is, with the ultimate disgrace of not even having burial. Like a loathed branch, clothed with the slain, those pierced by the sword. This did happen to Belshazzar, the last king of Babylon, who go down to the stones of the pit like a dead body trampled underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial because you have destroyed your land. You have slain your people. May the offspring of evildoers nevermore be named. Prepare the slaughter for his sons because of the guilt of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the earth and fill the face of the world with cities. Who in Iraq today fears Saddam Hussein, who within our memory made everyone in Iraq look over his shoulder constantly. This is the doom of such. And I will rise up against them, declares the Lord of hosts. I will cut off from Babylon the name and remnant, descendants, and posterity. This did not happen in the ancient times. But he's describing here the doom of all such in that day in the future. And I will make it a possession for the hedgehog and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, declares the Lord of hosts. So in chapter 13, Isaiah is prophesying of a time 250 years before or after his day, and it was fulfilled as he prophesied. In chapter 14, we look to the far distant future, to the same time described in the book of Revelation. And now, beginning with verse 24, we come back to Isaiah's own day. So keep this principle in mind in studying Isaiah or any of the other prophets too. But he jumps around from time to time. Now he's back to his own time before Babylon became a power to be feared. During the day of the Assyrian Empire, Assyria in Isaiah's day was threatening all of the kingdoms around Judah and Judah itself. Indeed, the king of Assyria and his armies had destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel and their capital at Samaria. And now he was preparing a campaign against Judah. We'll read the details of this in the 36th, 37th, and 38th, 39th chapters of this same book. But here he writes in poetry the doom of Assyria in his own day. The Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so shall it be. As I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land. Here again, God calls the Holy Land his land. I will break the Assyrian in my land. And it was at the siege of Jerusalem that the king of Assyria and his army were destroyed. And we will read about that when we get to that point. And on my mountains, that is the mountains around about Jerusalem, trample him underfoot. That actually happened. And his yoke shall depart from them, that is from the Jews, and his burden from their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed concerning the whole earth. In other words, this is God's decree. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. There is a hand, an unseeing hand, that guides the affairs of all nations. And if we have the insight of the Bible, we can see the working of that hand of God with the nations of the world in our own day. It is not by chance that these riots of the past week or two have occurred and that tyrants have fallen. These are all pieces of the jigsaw puzzle of God's great plan for all peoples of the world. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? As I read last week, these chapters of Isaiah from chapter 13 through 23 are prophecies concerning all of the nations surrounding Judah. So now we've read his prophecy concerning Babylon. This is his prophecy concerning Assyria, their current enemy. And now he takes up his prophecies against other surrounding nations and what their doom will be. The burden of Philistia, or the Philistines. The Philistines invaded the Holy Land, that is the Mediterranean shore, from the border of Egypt, about halfway up the coast of what is today the Holy Land. And they did that during the time of the judges. And they were one of the chief enemies of Israel. You remember the story of Samson and Goliath and of David and Ziklag. So this is the prophecy against the Philistines. And it is from the Philistines, that the Romans named all of the Holy Land Palestine, which was the Latin form of Philistines, after they had destroyed Judea and had forbidden the Jews to even be in the land. This was in about 135 A.D. The Philistines gave their name Palestine through the Romans to the land. And do you know who inhabits that area that the Philistines controlled today? Tell us, brother. The Gaza. It is the Gaza Strip. And they are probably the most dangerous enemies that Israel has today. So here is the Lord's prophecy. In the year that King Ahaz died, this oracle or burden came. The Philistines had invaded the land of Judah during the time of King Ahaz, and in the year that he died, his successor, Hezekiah, drove the Philistines out of the borders of Judah and destroyed their military power. But here is the Isaiah's prophecy concerning the Philistines. In the year that King Ahaz died came this burden. Rejoice not, O Philistia, all of you, that the rod that struck you is broken. That is King Hezekiah's campaign against them. For from the serpent's root, well, that particular thing, the rod that struck them was the king of Assyria, who actually made a campaign against the Philistines on his way to make war with Egypt. So the rod was the Assyrian king. Rejoice not, O Philistia, all of you, that the rod that struck you is broken, for from the serpent's root will come forth an adder. And this adder would be Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who would utterly destroy their land. And its fruit will be a flying, fiery serpent. And the firstborn of the poor will graze. That is, the land will just be so desolate it will only be good for pasturing. And the needy lie down in safety. But I will killed your root and famine, and your remnant it will slay. Wail, O gate, cry out, O city, melt in fear, O Philistia, all of you, for smoke comes out of the north, and there is no straggler in his ranks. What will one answer the messengers of the nation? The Lord has founded Zion, and in her the afflicted of his people will find refuge. So here we see another one of the nations surrounding Judah and enemies of Judah that will find their end. And the Philistines did. Their very memory was destroyed from the country, excepting that later their name was given to the land, Palestine today. And next we will have the prophecy concerning Moab. It is a rather long prophecy covering two chapters, so we'll not pick that up today. But Moab was, as you remember, the descendants of one of the sons of Lot. So Moab was a kindred nation to the Jews. But Moab had always been an enemy of Israel. You remember how Lot came to a bad end, and he was Abraham's nephew. He had left the land of Mesopotamia with Abraham. He, together with Abraham, had become very prosperous and a very rich man. But he made a choice to go down to pasture his flocks in the fertile plain of the Dead Sea Valley to the south of the Dead Sea, down to the city of Sodom, noted for its wickedness. That was his deliberate choice. And his descendants, Moab and Ammon, followed in his stead. They very quickly became idolatrous. And Moses acknowledged their kinship with Moab when they were on their march from the wilderness to possess the land of Canaan. And he requested permission for his people to pass through the land of Moab. They would pay for whatever water their flocks drank. They would pay for whatever food they needed. They would not disturb the land, but instead Moab made war against Israel. And they were always Israel's enemy. And as we read through these nations and the prophecies against them that were surrounding the Israelites, the Jews and the Israelites, we see that all of these nations, in order, who have been against the Jews, came to a very bad end, and to an end of their history even. Babylon, Assyria, Philistia, Moab, Damascus, Syria, Ethiopia, Egypt, the land of Persia, Edom, Arabia, and Tyre, the Phoenicians, all of them opponents of Israel, in the end came to a doom, and their history ended. We see the same thing today. The nations surrounding Israel. One of these nations that we're going to read the burden against is today Iran, one of their chief enemies. But all of these nations surrounding Israel today will find their doom. And, as Isaiah put it, the Lord will yet remember Zion. We live in exciting times. You know that? We live in terrible times. Well, when haven't times been terrible for God's people? We live in exciting times. So look up. Our Lord cometh.